And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for a weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And before we get into the conversation with CEO and founder of First American State Bank, Jay Davidson, I wanted to mention the Center for American Values, which is located right here in Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo, Colorado is home to four Medal of Honor recipients, which is totally amazing. And something to do this Memorial Day, they are actually open on Memorial Day. They're open 7 days a week. So something to do this Memorial Day weekend is put the family in the car and head down to Pueblo and take a look at their Portraits of Valor. It's over 160 Medal of Honor recipients. It's their portrait. And then they have a quote for each of them. It is so inspiring, and I just would highly recommend that you do that. It would be a great thing for Memorial Day, and we need a little inspiration these days, and you can find that at the Center for American Values. That website is AmericanValueCenter.org. On the line with me is a great sponsor of the show, and that is Jay Davidson and First American State Bank. He is the founder and CEO. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, Kim, thanks for having me again. I sure appreciate it.
Well, it's important that people understand these issues, and that is our goal, is to help people learn from experts like you so that they can then engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our country right now. And so I want to talk about the banking system and the Fed. We've had Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and First Republic State Bank that have failed recently. And my first question, Jay Davidson, is the banking industry is overregulated, regulators everywhere. How on earth could this happen when regulators are out there supposed to be preventing that? At least that's always kind of been my understanding for regulation.
Yeah, you're right, Kim, and you're fair to ask that question. It's a very good question. We got to go back a little bit and just say something for background's sake. The failures of these bank systems are very evident in what are called call reports. Every quarter, every bank across the nation supplies a call report to the Federal Reserve and their regulatory agency. And that call report is available online at ffiec.gov, and it's called the Uniform Bank Performance Report, UBPR. Now that data is important in retrospect because we can, and we did look back at Silicon Valley Bank, for instance, to understand what were their symptoms there, were there issues there, and the red lights were blaring. What they did was they took in over $100 billion in 1 year. They doubled the size of their bank. Now, that sounds really good, but the problem with doing that is that the risk involved is extreme, as Silicon Valley has demonstrated now. And the vast majority of bankers would never allow their bank to grow that rapidly. We kind of, believe it or not, we have to control the growth of our entity so that we're able to absorb the deposits. So Silicon Valley grew dramatically, $100 billion. They then said, okay, well, we've got to invest this money. We can't do loans that rapidly. So what are we going to do? Well, let's buy U.S. Treasuries. And, okay, treasuries don't default. That's a safe bet. But what they did, though, is they took this money, these deposits that came into their bank, which is hot money. I mean, these deposits can move in and out. Banks carry deposits as a liability on their balance sheet because they're absolutely required to pay it back. So the banker will take the deposit and put it into an asset. The asset can be a loan or a bond, typically, or there's, you know, more sophisticated outfits out there that do different things, but basically it's a loan or a bond. And Silicon Valley made a what appeared to be a really good decision. They got a bunch of treasuries. Well, not so much, because they ignored one of the basic tenets of banking, and this is banking 101, and that is what's called interest sensitivity to interest rate risk. So Silicon Valley invested in these 10-year treasuries. The face value, the principal value of the treasury or any bond goes up or down depending on interest rates. And if you don't sell a bond, you'll get all your money back. But if you're forced to sell it for liquidity purposes, in the case of this bank, then you will take a loss on it. And that's what happened. The Fed raised interest rates 500 basis points in 12 months. Unheard of. I mean, that is so fast and so high, it's unconscionable. Well, what that did to Silicon Valley is the inverted yield curve that was caused by the Federal Reserve's interest rate increase caused the value of their bonds to go down dramatically. And then it became evident when people finally started looking that the loss in their bond portfolio, should they be required to sell the bonds, was greater than their capital. And then when people saw that, they moved their deposits out of the bank immediately, causing a run on that bank. And that run forced Silicon Valley to sell their bonds to fund the liquidity requirements, to fund the deposits that were leaving, to pay for the deposits that were leaving. So you're beginning to see a tight circle here of cause and effect. So the final point I'd like to make on this question is that the San Francisco Federal Reserve is the regulator for Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic. And they were asleep at the switch, honestly, because the symptoms, the signs were all there. And you asked me a really good question. Why did they miss it? How could a regulatory agency miss it? Because they were distracted by the shiny new object out there called ESG and DEI and carbon credits and woke mentality. The Silicon Valley and First Republic are spending all this time on these issues, these social justice issues, which frankly have nothing to do with banking. And they were ignoring the basis of banking, which is interest rate risk.
So, Jay, I think it would be good, and again, this is something that I think most people may understand, but they may not. And so a treasury is supposed to be one of the most secure investments out there because it has the full faith and credit of the U.S. government behind that, taxing authority, all that. So it's been considered very safe. So a 10-year treasury that would be held to maturity, Silicon Valley Bank would get all their money back. But when interest rates go up, in order for bonds to be competitive in the market, because they have a fixed rate, and so they were down here at this lower rate, and so out in the market it says for a 10-year treasury that may, whatever it was carrying, let's say it was carrying 2%, and interest rates have gone up significantly from that. In order to get so that treasury bond, if people bought it immediately, would get, let's say that the going rate is 5%, the value of the bond goes down to a point where the value of it then would give a 5% rate of return. And so in layman's terms, that kind of is kind of what happened, yes?
That is exactly what happened. Absolutely.
Okay, yes.
But the other side of that equation, I mean, there's more than one thing in a perfect storm. The other thing is that banks have a requirement to provide liquidity to their depositors, which other businesses don't really have. So that does make banks very unique. So when the money started moving out of Silicon Valley, they had to fund their depositors. They had to move money from their investments into their deposit liability accounts, create liquidity, as we call it in banking. And that forced Silicon Valley to sell those bonds, those treasuries, at a loss.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about the Fed. And again, this is layman terms. Years and years ago, I was in the investment business. So just remembering back, I've got some expertise in some of these areas. But the Federal Reserve had kept interest rates artificially low for a long time, and you were on the on the microphone talking about that was a real problem, this keeping interest rates artificially low. But then for them to turn around because they're concerned about inflation, and I'm looking at von Mises quotes because that's what we'll use today, because you are a real fan of von Mises, is inflation is public policy. It is created by government. And so for the Fed to come in and say they want to control inflation, and that seems to be their only goal, and they want to cool down the economy. And to raise rates so quickly after they had kept them artificially low, it seems irresponsible to me that they would raise them so quickly, because these banks got caught. A lot of people got caught because of that. What do you think about that, Jay?
Yeah, irresponsible is a nice word for what they did. I'm disgusted, honestly. They are not fulfilling their edict. Their prime directive from 1911 on, when they were created, was to protect the value of the United States dollar. The dollar has devalued 95% since 1911. The Fed has not done the job that they were originally created for. And the major job, I think, is to protect the value of the United States dollar, the buying power of the United States dollar. And if you doubt me on this, consider what it costs you to fill up your gas tank today. It probably doubled. Now, you can say, well, it's a supply side issue where there's not enough oil or whatever. Both. The reason is really simple, and it's almost too simple. The reason is that the dollar is being devalued by the Federal Reserve's printing $8 trillion in additional United States dollars. And they started doing that in 2008. So if people come away from this conversation with only one idea, that one idea would be inflation is devaluation of the buying power of the dollar. So von Mises and his students, Hayek and Milton Friedman, have all said the same thing in various ways. Recessions are a monetary policy decision. They're not really an economic decision by private enterprise. This is an artificial event inside the private economy. So von Mises is always 100% correct on the economy. The Fed is the root cause of the inflation that we have today because of printing all this money. It's called quantitative easing. Mm-hmm. And the Fed's current action in raising interest rates so much and so fast are unconscionably wrong. The cause of the inflation is the excess money supply. You need to drain that. The cause of the inflation is not interest rates, even though you were right, they kept interest rates at zero far too long. But that just creates excesses in the marketplace, as does the excess liquidity that's in the marketplace. So keep in mind that the Fed has two major tools, probably three, but the two major tools in monetary policy are the interest rates that they charge. They're called Fed fund rates that we banks pay for overnight funds, and that forces us, when they go up, to increase our interest rates on our loans to make our margin, or allows us to drop our interest rates on our loans when they go down. So they control us, and we control the market, lending market, by Fed fund rates. And the second tool that the Fed has is liquidity, money supply, M2, M1. It's all the same. But the fact that they printed $8 trillion since 2008 mm-hmm. is an absolute sin. I mean, I cannot comprehend why. Well, I think I do, and I think it's a really ugly answer, but they are actively trying to destroy our economy. And we can talk about that. It's a complex topic, but there are indicators that the devaluation of the United States dollar is also causing us to lose our most favored nation status, our safe harbor status for our bonds, which means that the cost of our bonds will go up dramatically, which means that the dollar will not be used in financial transactions to the level it was before, and will have a major impact. And it will also mean the end to our frivolous and ridiculous spending beyond our means, which is called debt. That's a whole other topic, but hopefully we can get into that too.
Yes, I would like to talk about that. The voice that you hear is Jay Davidson. He is the CEO and founder of First American State Bank, great sponsor of the show. And I am blessed to work with great people. All of my sponsors are people that strive for excellence, businesses that strive for excellence. And another great sponsor is Roots Medical.